Hey, and welcome to Saturate with your host, gospel singer, and Bible teacher, Chris Norman. Saturate is a program where we study to show ourselves approved, not ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So grab your Bible and study along with us as we dig deeper in order to expose a lot of erroneous preconceived ideas about God's word. As we prepare to study, let's pray. Father, thank you for making your word available to us, and thanks for the Holy Spirit's anointing to discern what we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, here's your host, Chris Norman.
Hey there, everybody. It's so good to have you today. Man, I got a subject that I want to talk about. I think you'd be very interested in. I'm going to keep you in suspense. Call somebody on the phone and say, I don't know, but it sounds like it's going to be a good one today. Let me start off with this song here. God gave me this song some time ago when I was trying my best to get somebody to help me out, do something in the ministry. I don't know. And it seemed like everybody you talked to said, well, I can't, you know. People always say, let me know if I can help. Let me know if I can do anything. You let them know, I can't. So I wrote this song that basically talks about when men say they can't, Jesus is the mighty, mighty man who can. Yeah, you can always count on Jesus, honey. He'll never let you down. Let's open our Bibles today to Mark chapter 3, verse 22. Verse 22 starts like this. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebub, and he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. And so he called them to himself and began speaking to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But he is finished. But no one can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property unless he first tie up the strong man, and then he can plunder his house. Truly I say unto you, all sins, notice that word sins is plural, will be forgiven the sons and daughters of men, and whatever blasphemies they commit. One version says blasphemies against the Son of Man. 29 says, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Sin, singular. And you know what we're talking about, I'm sure. Man, as a good old Baptist, I knew I had done it. Man, I knew I had done crossed the line somewhere. I'd sinned so many times and done so many things. Certainly, I had committed the unforgivable sin. But thank God I found out later that it wasn't so. And I want to teach it to you like it's been taught to me by the Holy Spirit. You know, God doesn't want us to run in fear. God has been doing everything he can to get us to come back to him. One of these previous broadcasts, I had a song on there called Come Back. And my goodness, that's what God wants. He wants us in his presence. He wants us to abide under that shadow. He wants us to dwell in the secret place with him. He wants to be like that mother hen that stretches her wings over her chicks, just like he told Jerusalem. That's what he wants for you and me. He loves us so much. If we just understood that kind of love, we wouldn't run from God. We'd run straight to him. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today, being reconciled unto God. You have not committed. If you're a believer, let me just go on and settle this before we do the commercial. If you're a believer, you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe that he is the Christ, and that's not his last name either. Christ simply means that he is anointed by the Holy Spirit. And that's what was being addressed in the scripture we just read. The Pharisees, the religious crowd, was sitting there blaspheming against that Holy Spirit in Christ, saying, no, no, we won't believe. We're not. Basically, that's what the unforgivable sin is unbelief in Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. If you continue to reject Jesus, it's just as simple as this, folks. He's the Savior. If you reject the Savior, you can't be saved. It's unforgivable. But we're going to learn, if you're a believer today, you have not committed the unforgivable sin. It's impossible for you to do because you believe. We're going to touch that a little bit more. Let's do the commercial right now, and we'll be right back with some more. Hang on.
SaturateNow.com. If you'll go to that website, you can get information about Crossroads Gospel Singers, where we're going to be. You can even book our group if you'd like. You can also get radio content for this Saturate program. You can even download music as well. The site is under construction, so keep coming back to see what changes have been made. If you desire to make a tax-deductible donation to the ministry, SaturateNow.com is the place to go. Thanks for your generous support of the ministry. God bless you.
SaturateNow.com. We appreciate you going there. Listen, turn to John chapter 16 and verse 8. And when he has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they, underline they, believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye, or you, see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. There's three things here that the Holy Spirit is responsible to do in this world. He's got three groups. In interpreting scripture, you got to know some things. One thing, you need to know who's talking. The second thing you need to know is who's being spoken to. So many people take scripture literally to themselves when they're not the ones being spoken to. It's talking to somebody else. And the devil's real good about trying his best to get you to look at the most negative part of this as you can. So a lot of people don't focus on that righteousness part. They focus on that he'll reprove the world of sin. Well, we just got through talking about that. The Pharisees and the religious people had refused to believe in Jesus the Christ. You read it in 1 John. It talks about the spirit of Antichrist is a spirit that will not confess that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost. That's plainly what it's saying. They do not confess that Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost and became flesh and blood so that he could die for us. And that's another long story. But look at the three things that's going to happen here. It says that when he's come, he's going to reprove the world of sin. And he explains himself in verse 9 of sin, and that's singular, because they believe not on me. That is singular. That is the one sin. That is the unforgivable sin, because like we said earlier, if you don't believe in a Savior, you can't be saved. Man, if you're out there in the water drowning and somebody throws you one of them life rings and you absolutely refuse to grab it, well, don't be surprised if you drown. You know, a lifeline has been thrown to this world, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit's job is to reprove us and reprove us and reprove us that we need a Savior. Look at the second group of people he's talking to. See, the first one was they. The second group in verse 10 says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you, talking to a different group of people. And what's his job to reprove himself? Righteousness. We're right with God. The Bible says he became sin who knew no sin so that we could be made the right, made, honey, the righteousness of God in him. Cursed everyone that hangs on a tree so that the blessing of Abraham could come unto the Gentiles. That was folks like us, oh, heathens like me. And that's God's plan down through the history of the world, was to reconcile all people to himself. I have a few more scriptures I want to read, but let me remind you of this one before we go any further. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 says, everyone who partakes of milk is unacquainted, King James says unskilled, with the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Well, that's what we need to know, folks. This is what the Holy Spirit's job is, to reprove, remind, continuously remind us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, when you look in Corinthians, those Corinthians were messed up, man. They had some sexual sins going on, some real perversion taking place. And Paul didn't go in there and tell them they were, you know, dying and going to hell. What he continued to do was remind them. He said, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't do these things. Don't allow that stuff to happen in your body. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You see, reproving the believers of the righteousness that they are in Christ. You've been made right. I want to get to a few more scriptures here. Let's go to Romans 4, 7 and 8. Blessed are they whose lawless acts are forgiven, whose sins, plural, are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin, singular, the Lord will never count against him. Remember on the program we talked about the Ark of the Covenant? All that stuff that was in there was a representation of man's rebellion against God. But yet he put the mercy seat on top, and they put the blood on the mercy seat. And he basically said, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over all that stuff inside the box. I'm never going to bring it up to you again. In Romans, what we just read, that is a direct quotation of Psalm 32. So you got it in the Old Testament and you got it in the New Testament. David said, blessed is the man whose sins are not held against him, who God will not impute his sins to him. Now, you know, I've always known in my heart, and it's true, this is for a believer. But let me give you another scripture. You're going to really like this one. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Starting at verse 17, 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new person or a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all these things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Folks, he's talking about the world. He's not just talking about believers. He's talking about unbelievers. This is what the Holy Ghost's job is. He's reproving them of sin, the sin of unbelief. But God is not taking their individual sins and sticking them up in their face like Satan is. Jesus Christ wants you. God loves you, and he is reconciling you to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. If you know that in your heart, say it with me right now. Say, Father, I believe in Jesus Christ. I need him. I want him in my heart to be my Savior and my Lord. I want these old things to pass away, and behold, all things become new in my life. Thank you for reconciling me to you through Jesus Christ. Folks, if you did that, it's on like a chicken bone, honey. You saved and you are ready to go. We love you. I am so out of time. Please, if you get a chance to visit saturatenow.com, do so. Drop us a note. Get some of the messages or the music. And listen, don't wait for somebody else to do this. You call this radio station or wherever you're hearing this broadcast and let somebody know how much you appreciate this program. That really will be a help, folks, and we appreciate you doing it too, okay? God bless you so much, man. Tell your neighbors to join us again this time, same place tomorrow. Have a great one, y'all. Bye-bye.